Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee will be with us later this hour at 7:30. Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. And taking your thoughts, phone and text lines, YouTube chat, open for business here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, Nick Kieser was nice enough to print out the Titans 2024 training camp schedule.
It was nice of him.
Which is beginning a week from tomorrow. 1 week from tomorrow, training camp is here. Is that exciting news? What do we think?
Well,
because then we get Titans training camp. And then there's not real football for another month.
I know it's such a long time too. You go, it's a little earlier than I thought. So my initial reaction was, oh God, next week. I mean, on the one hand, we'll have more to talk about, so that's good. On the other hand, when Titans camp starts, to me, it's like, you know, it's like summer's over.
Yeah.
And shoot, I mean, I think the kids are going back to school August 5th, right? Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
I feel like summer is 2 weeks. So it's mixed feelings, but you start up on the 23rd, and then your first game is not until September 8th or whatever it was.
Yeah.
What's the day of the
eighth,
over? Yeah,
something.
You know, man, that is a long time of just wondering about a team and talking to a team and watching a team practice. There is that preseason opener against the Niners on August 10th. So then there'll be a little bit more glimpse. And, Brian Callahan has talked about valuing seeing some starters in preseason games. So I do think that Titans fans especially Titans fans who pay any money to get into that stadium to watch preseason games are at least going to be able to see some of the players they want to see maybe a little bit more.
The anti-Vrabel. Maybe he'll play the starters a quarter?
I don't know. I mean, look, I think there's risk, and I would probably be more Vrabel-like. There is risk, but also, like, new offensive line, I can see the value in, okay, go out there and actually block the other team for a few series and try to work together and see how that looks. And Levis, you know, go out there with some people trying to tackle you. But, again, it'll be interesting. I mean, I guess for the sake of fans and I guess for us, it'd be great if they play more. It's just that you get someone hurt and – now all of a sudden your philosophy could change like that if you're Brian Callahan, right?
What do you think is going to be the most over-discussed topic in Titans training camp this year? And I'll take the quarterback out of it because we know that Levis, I mean, we're going to be doing what we do every year, and that is Levis was 7 of 11 today and threw for 3 touchdowns, and the next day he was 6 of 15 through 2 interceptions. What does it all mean?
Right.
We're going to get into all that stuff with Levis, but what do you think the most over-discussed slash topic of Titans training camp that we're all going to be sick of by the time like August 25th rolls around will be?
Well, I do think Legarius Sneed's availability comes to mind. That'll be very interesting. You know, how much does he practice? It's going to be a daily thing, right? And it'll probably be some missed time, and so there'll be a lot of complaining on our forum and others, different times of the day more than others, and then a lot of from him, I'm fine, and this is, so that one will get a little bit old. I also just think the offensive line, just the daily, and it's important. It's hugely important, but it's the same thing. It's like Levis was this or this. Oh, Latham got beat by Arden Key on an inside move and whatever, right? I mean, just the offensive line, I guess the right tackle competition, if there's going to be a competition, and then the left tackle performance day after day, first-round rookie, Is he ready to actually play left tackle in the NFL? Tavondre Sweat, Skyler just put that on the text line.
That's my answer.
I agree. Okay. That's certainly his weight, his participation, all these things. There's my three.
Yeah.
Even though I just borrowed the Tavondre Sweat from Skyler.
I think is going to be from moment one. We're going to be talking about how does Sweat look? Does it look like he's lost any weight? Is he in shape out there? Can he stay on the field? All those things. And look, I'm not saying that those aren't valid conversations to have. I think we're going to see a lot of it. You've talked about how important he can be on that side of the ball, and I agree. You know, the Latham thing just kind of is what it is. Now, the one thing I'll say about the Latham part of this is I don't know that we're really going to know anything about him until the actual games get here. Like, you can say that to a certain degree about everybody, but like wide receiver, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, you could tell if somebody's got the goods. Like, it didn't take long for A.J. Brown in the training camp for people to be like, yeah, you know, he might be pretty good. So, like, you can tell when some of those guys have the goods. We've talked about this. Like, when you're just not hitting all that much and the pads aren't on all that much in training camp, it's tough to really know until you get into the games. All accounts are, based on what we've seen at this point, that Latham has been unbelievably impressive. So, I'm sure I have no reason to think that's not going to continue into camp.
Yeah, but I mean, if he struggles, again, we did see, you definitely saw Andre Dillard, you know, in camp last year. You saw some issues.
We saw that.
And you could have talked yourself into, oh, my God, Arden Key is actually an all-pro who just keeps bouncing from team to team, but they just don't know what they had. Or is Andre Dillard going to be a problem? And, of course, he ended up being a problem. So, it's – even without pads, you still are doing pass sets and things like that, and you can get a little bit of an idea. And, you know, the just like always, the practices with the other team. What do they have this year? They got Seattle. Is that the only joint practice? Two days with Seattle, is that right? For some reason, I thought they were doing two teams, but I guess not.
I guess in the actual training camp portion, it's just Seattle.
Yeah, so get Jamal Adams out there just –
I mean, I'm looking forward to
dominating
that.
Against the Seahawks.
Could get a little spicy out there.
Could be. So, and by the way, Skyler said Tavondre Sweat will be most talked about by Jared. Could be. Although I think Snead could be in there, man.
Or
don't,
Alden.
Don't sell Snead short.
Alden in Nashville says Jared with the same story about the right tackle. I'm telling the Floyd story 1,000 times of
right.
We don't have a right tackle.
Yeah. By the way, like. I mean, I like the story, but, like, why is that relevant?
I guess you're saying they don't have a right tackle.
One time, one year, you don't. Again, if you're just horrific, and I'm trying to think of, like, that was just a terrible offensive line, right? I mean, they had nobody at all, right? Like, that was like.
They had faced the franchise Taylor Wong.
Yeah, that's right. As a rookie or something? Wasn't it?
Second year, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. So, the thing is, they do have, like, NFL quality players, I think, at right tackle. We'll find out. That's another – I mean, look, right tackle and MPF in particular. He is a big story of training camp.
No doubt about it. 615-737-1025. What is your top storyline for the Tennessee Titans as we are now 1 week away from the beginning of training camp? 615-737-1025. Take your thoughts on that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is back. Join our own Joe Dubin at Yazoo Brewing Company at 900 River Bluff Drive in Madison this Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. as he gives away tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Def Leppard, Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. Also get signed up for the grand prize, tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee will join us here in about 15 minutes or so at 7:30. We'll get into all things Vanderbilt football with him. Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Your top storylines for the Titans heading into camp. We brought up, you know, the J.C. Latham part of this. I think you could just group in Bill Callahan with all that too, right? I mean, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Bill Callahan, the impact he's going to have on Latham, the impact he could have on right tackle with Nicholas Petit-Frere. You know, I said last week, if I could pick a breakout player for the Titans this year that I feel best about, it would be Skoronski. Like, I think Skoronski should, given the situation around him right now, have a big year. And when you drafted somebody at number 11 overall, they need to perform well for you, especially at that position. So I've got high expectations for him heading into this season. I do think on the back end too, I think an under-discussed move, because the Snead move was made so quickly after that, a woozy and the type of player that he is, I can see several days coming up to training camp where all we're going to be talking about is, especially when they're all on the field, if that's the case, man, did you see the matchup between the Titans' top three receivers today and their top three corners? Like, it would be – that is a matchup and a storyline that I am very much looking forward to heading into all this.
Yeah, the best on best of the corner, even the individuals and all that stuff, pretty good, no doubt. With, well, of course, again, is Snead out there? Is he practicing? Are we watching him? Are we actually watching him press – Hopkins, that'd be great. You know, I'm here for some Snead pressing Hopkins and team, or pressing Ridley and team. You know, sounds great. But Awuzie's good for sure. McCreary looks great out there, so that will be good. Yeah, I mean that's typically. I mean, you can see some other things. Right? You can see how linebackers are moving and how backs are running, I guess, and. The safety situation will be very interesting, of course, as we've discussed. You know, is Jamal Adams a starter? Is he competing with Molden to start? Or is he sort of just a sub-package, specialty kind of player? Is there anybody else who is back, is pushing? I mean, I think it's going to be Molden with Hooker, but that's a hugely important position. It really is. It's not a premium position, but if you're bad at safety – you can be good elsewhere, and that can still cost you.
Do you think – look, I know Brian Callahan framed it as a quarterback competition for the number two spot between Rudolph and Willis. I don't know that I actually believe that. I mean, he didn't bring Mason Rudolph in to be the third-string quarterback, so that's probably destined to be Malik Willis as your number three. I am interested to see how they handle quarterback. Like, does Brian Callahan look at Malik Willis and say, you know what, there's enough there to where him being on the practice squad, us having to elevate him if we need to with the new quarterback rules, we feel good about that? Or do they say, you know what, it's a new regime, we didn't draft him, Rand Carthon didn't draft him, and maybe there are other quarterbacks around the league that you could take a flyer on as your number three later in camp? I'm interested to see how they – what this all means for Malik Willis and when we get to the end of this camp, what his role is going to be.
Yeah, I think he'll be on the team. I mean, I think that Malik Willis, considered as a starting quarterback now, is like, no way. But Malik Willis as a third quarterback, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I watch Mason Rudolph. I'm with you. I don't think it'll really be a competition. Also – ooh, Mason Rudolph. It's not like he's – I know we got some serious fans like, watch out, Mason is taking over. No, he's not taking over anything. So is there a chance that Malik Willis could come in gangbusters and actually compete with him? Maybe. I think he'll get some reps, but I think he'll be on the team. I think as a third option and as practice squad guy and just another security blanket, it's worth keeping him.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the Rudolph part of this, I was a little underwhelmed with like, he's not a bad player. Like, he has come into the game and won games for Pittsburgh before. So, like, asking much more than that to be serviceable as a backup quarterback is asking a lot. Like, you know, the Ryan Tannehill as your backup quarterback situation just doesn't happen very often. So I fully understand that. Like, I recognize that heading into this year. I still wonder if that's the best option that the Titans could have gone with. You know, selfishly, I was rooting for Jameis just because anytime we get to hear Jameis talk, it'd be cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up in Cleveland. But, you know, you're hoping to not have to see Rudolph or Willis in an actual game this year. you were hoping that last year, too, with the quarterback situation. We know how bad the line was. With that being, we think, improved heading into this year, you know, it's a big year for Levis to stay healthy. If he doesn't, though, like, do we have confidence? Let's say Levis is out for a month. Because, obviously, if he's out for anything longer than that, that's bad news. Let's say he's out for a month. Do you have confidence that Mason Rudolph is good enough to keep your head above water for four games? Can he do that for four games?
I mean, he's had some good moments. You know, he's had some stretches where people did think, hey, maybe this guy's gonna make a run, and then no, he's not that. He's a backup. It's possible, but it's, you know, the answer to that is so much about what's around the quarterback, right?
Yep.
Like, they have a defense to keep score down, keep him in games. Like, will he have protection? He has good receivers.
Yep.
Pretty good backs. So, yeah, I mean, I think he could game manage his way to a couple wins if you're decent at enough spots, which we don't know yet.
Yeah. Ben on the text line, what percentage of fans do y'all think are oblivious to the possibility that we don't have a starting caliber quarterback on the roster? I hope we do, but too many people are taking it for granted. This is from Ben on the text line. Well, if that's the case,
yeah, then you're going to stink.
And not even Will Levis is starting quality. Well, then you're going to be every bit as bad, if not worse, than most of the NFL media at large thinks you're going to be heading into this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but I think fans aren't oblivious, because the biggest thing that anybody talks about is finding out about Will Levis this year, right? If you're finding out about someone, then you have to recognize that possibility, don't you?
Yeah.
I understand there's some people who think he's going to be an all-pro this year, sure. Right? You know, I'm sure there's people think a lot of things. But I think most people get that. Lenny says release Malik. Why, though? I mean, why is it so important to release Malik Willis? I mean, first of all, teams don't just go with two quarterbacks in a camp. They go find some scrub off the street or Scarbini. That's one of my,
yes,
that's one of the Jared words I like, as opposed to anywho. Don't ever say anywho ever, ever again. No one ever say anywho, okay?
There we go.
But, yeah, why release Malik? I mean, he's a very good third quarterback, I promise you. He's not a starter. We understand that. He's a very good third quarterback. The backup quarterbacks in this league are trash. Do we not understand this? There's like eight good ones.
Well, he may not even be a good backup, but a good third string? Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
He's trying to – I mean, Malik Willis's quest, the realistic quest, is staying in the league and demonstrating that he can be a reliable QB2. And I don't know if he'll do that, but as a third quarterback, and can't – heck yeah. Why would you release him? It makes no sense at all.
Well, I mean, the only way would be if there's somebody that comes available at the end of camp that you feel better about.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be it. But
sure.
Until then I'm with you. Like, you don't release him just for the sake of releasing him.
Because you're mad they drafted him, or because you know he's not a starter. We understand that. He's QB3.
Still agree that if there comes a point this year where you had to start Malik Willis at quarterback, things are probably not going to go very well. I think we all recognize that.
I mean, he almost beat Kansas City, but yes.
He did.
He almost led a huge win on the road against Kansas City. He almost out-dueled Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, no one remembers that.
He did.
Threw a couple nice fades that night.
That was a rough one to watch from an offensive standpoint.
Yes, it was. Maddie says, if Levis goes down for 4-plus weeks, we should reach back out to Tannehill. Probably won't come back. Worth the call. He'll be somewhere. I don't know where. Yeah, I mean, unless he's actually going to hang it up. But, gosh, I'd be surprised by that. Maybe that's more of a consideration than you realize.
He's made a lot of money.
Yeah, his career earnings are high, and he definitely is. He's not super healthy. I think you saw that last year. But I still, man. Yeah, someone says, how is Tannehill not a backup? Again, I think, how is Tannehill not a backup somewhere? Because he wants to be a starter somewhere. I think that's why. And now it's kind of like, okay, so are you going to go? There's teams that would definitely love to have Tannehill as QB2. I promise you this.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. SEC Media Days coming up this week, so Clark Lee checking in with us beforehand. We'll get his thoughts on all things Vanderbilt football. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. College football right around the corner, thank God. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Clark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing so well, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Great to talk with you. Clark, obviously this time of year, I think every year, really exciting, but a lot of new things coming our way in your program this year. What's the offseason been like, and how excited are you to get things rolling here over the next few weeks?
Well, the offseason's been it's been a season of change. We've had a lot of new faces on our staff, obviously on our team. 53 new players, which is not something that we've done in the past, but I think that is what, you know, engaging in what football looks like in 2024. You know, I've been really pleased with the strides we made in strength and conditioning and in our weight room this summer. I think the additions of Tim Beck and Jerry Kill, have helped both strengthen our operational systems. Jerry's eye is scrutinizing everything, which has been a great boost to me. Tim with the offense, I'm really pleased with where we are there. And I don't know that there's a football coach in the country that's not excited this time of year. So, but certainly we can look at the changes and say, you know, we feel like we've gotten back on track with progress and looking forward to taking this team into competition this fall.
So, Clark, I know you've talked some about, bringing in Tim in particular, Tim Beck and his offense, watching the win at Auburn and how impressed you were, and then you sort of dug in on it. A couple questions on that. First of all, how would you describe what he does offensively? And then with Diego Pavia, of course, a quarterback of that offense coming in, you have Nate Johnson also. Is it fair to say that Diego is QB1 right now?
I would hesitate to say that, obviously, because I wouldn't be a good coach if I showed all my cards right now.
It's media week.
I'm going to wait up until the last moment to make a determination there. Diego, is obviously a unique talent. He's, he's a guy that's insanely competitive and just has an incredible again, competitive drive that the kids rally around them. And you can see that already taking place in our building. With Nate, Nate coming from Utah, it's got the physical skills and the tools there are at an elite level. And he's learning this system and growing into a leadership voice. And those things take time, but I've been pleased with his progress. And we had, Blaise Berlewitz too, who's going to be in competition, and Drew Dickey. We went from really having a quarterback room and this was necessary, guys, because it's a new system, so we wanted to build that room around what Tim wanted to do with the offense. And the guys that we brought in have the athletic ability to extend plays and to do some things that Tim wants to do. They also have the ability to throw the ball down the field, and when you talk about what Tim's doing offensively and what the offense looks like, it's there's multiplicity to it. I think it fits what the vision of a Vanderbilt football offense should be. You're talking about a guy who, engineered the number 14 rushing offense a year ago and the number 12 offense in yards per play. And, to do that, you have to create space for your players. You have to keep the ball in play. There's got to be creative aspects of the design where you're using formations and motions to try to create gaps in the run game. What I think is unique about Tim's system is you have all these run aspects that are challenging, but he really learned the air raid system when he was at TCU. When we run past Kelly against them, we're seeing every concept that we'll see in the fall. So I think there's a lot to it. You have to be really skilled as a teacher and a coach to get those things taught and executed. I've been really pleased with the progress they've made so far this summer.
So Clark, we know you've always been involved on the defensive side of the ball, but kind of taking full control of that heading into this year. When you look at your defense and the style and just your checklist of things that you want to see happen this year, what does that look like? What do you want kind of the identity, the formula of this defense to be?
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say is I really haven't been directly involved. You know, I think it when Jesse got here year one, we spent some time on the front end just blending kind of the things that he was bringing from Baltimore with some of the things we did at Notre Dame and talking through kind of what the foundation of the package would look like. But, you know, what I've done in 3 years is I've taken a lot of my time and put it towards trying to get some of the peripheral systems and engines running. And I've needed to do that. That doesn't mean that I haven't, you know, given my opinions or sat in on meetings at times and challenged some of the things we're doing, but it's a much different world when you run the defense versus when you're, you know, kind of managing all three phases. So we have a lot of progress that we can make. I think if I were going to tell you what I didn't like or what I felt like needed to change, you know, our ability to challenge space, you know, we have to limit explosive plays. You know, we have to be able to spread the hard down around in terms of the scheme. We can't sit in middle open cover four and think that, you know, that's going to be a winning formula for us in this league. You know, we have to be able to close the middle of the field. We have to be able to at times overload protections and take the hard down off the corners at times. And so I'm getting into some football jargon, but there were things that I think in terms of our system, we weren't flexible enough to do the things we need to do defensively to win. And so what I want the fans to see is a fast, aggressive, fun, physical group that's out there playing the game they love and doing it together. And, you know, I think good defense is inspirational. I mean, you can sense a connectedness. Again, you can sense an attitude and a physical presence. You know, those are the things that I'm really interested in having show up. My job is to make sure we're doing the things schematically and tactically that are allowing our players to have success. And so I've had a blast, guys. I can't tell you how reinvigorating it has been for me to be able to connect with these guys and teach again, just to teach and train and share that passion with our players. And, you know, I've been able to grow closer to the team because of the work that I've done with the defense.
Talking to Vanderbilt coach Clark Lee. So Clark, doing this now, what are you taking time away from? And I guess, is Jerry Kill filling some of those duties in a way?
Yeah. I mean, I think first of all, you know, heading into year four, I've learned a lot about my role, you know, that I don't think you can learn from daydreaming about being a head coach. You know, you have to be in the seat to actually understand what it is that you're here to do. The first thing is I got to drive alignment within our program in all areas. And so whether that's academics or nutrition or strength and conditioning or certainly offense, defense, special teams, that we have to be pointed in the same direction. And so, you know, to understand that and to realize how I can use my energy efficiently to ensure that that's happening, you know, that takes time, but it doesn't take all day. You know, I can have checks and balances and staff meetings where listening to the guys talk about the areas, listening to progress or seeing progress being made in areas, we can make changes more quickly and rapidly because we're more efficient with our time. You know, what really becomes kind of different for me is the amount of time that I'm dedicating in addition to that head coach responsibility to mentoring the defensive staff. And so maybe a year ago, I would have spent time mentoring all three phases. And so taking my time on, hey, you know, what is the play we're running? Why are we running it this way? What are we going to do when the defense does this? So on and so forth. You know, I will see our offense in competition, but I am spending the time that I have in terms of our tactics on defense. That's where Jerry comes in and is able to do the same thing for the offensive staff. And so really mentor those coaches and ensure that, again, the systems are running and they're aligned and there's a shared understanding of what we're trying to accomplish on that side of the ball. And so he's been a huge assist that way. I don't feel like I need to sit in with the offensive staff and watch film. Obviously, Tim Beck has a ton of experience, including 10 years as a head coach. But you know, I've got peace of mind that that operation's running really effectively so that I can dedicate my time and attention to the defense. And that's really been the big shift. But, you know, I think Jerry's also had the ability to come in, and we feel like we're building a program from scratch here. You know, at Vanderbilt, there had never been an operation that was at the foundation going to lead to sustained success. And so the goal here wasn't how fast. The goal is how effectively and how long we can make this thing last. And so what is necessary in that approach is that you scrutinize everything that touches the program. You know, we can't make any assumptions that any of our systems are functioning at the level they need to function at. And we've made a ton of progress in our first 3 years with respect to certain aspects of the way that we support our players, you know, whether it be through nutrition or just different expectations with respect to how we support them in their academic journey too. But Jerry's really been helpful to me to come in and just really take a look at all of those things and say, hey, here's where, you know, we have alignment. Here's where I feel like this seems to be really effective. You know, here's where we need to address some things that maybe are a little out of sync with the vision of what we want to build. And, you know, again, that's given me some peace of mind too, to have kind of that external perspective from someone who's done it at a lot of different places, to say, hey, these things look really good. Here's a couple places we need to strengthen just to make sure in time this program grows to the level that we want it to grow.
Okay, Clark, one player Vanderbilt fans don't know that they will know relatively quickly early in the season. I know coaches hate questions like this, but giving it a shot.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I there's so many guys that I'd want to talk about. And I'll tell you, I've been so pleased with – I'm going to give you two, just to be fair, okay. One on each side of the ball. There's so many guys that that I think deserve, you know, the excitement to be built. And I think we'll have plenty of time to talk about everyone through fall camp. Zaylen Wood, who's a defensive line transfer from MTSU, is a guy who, you know, we were really blown away with on film, just in terms of seeing him play against Missouri, seeing him play against Alabama. You know, he's a twitchy 290-pound kind of Swiss Army knife up front who can do a lot of different things, but we call him the Tasmanian Devil. He's just, the engine never stops running, and I'm super excited for him. I think he's going to have a chance to have a great impact for us, and I think that our fan base is going to love to watch him play. And then, you know, offensively, we've added a ton of really great players. We've strengthened our offensive line. Obviously, we've talked about the quarterback position, but Eli Stowers is a guy that I just feel like he's playing tight end. He's a guy that can do a lot of different things. We can line him up on the perimeter. We can line him up in the backfield. He started his career as a quarterback at Texas A&M. And so he was at New Mexico State a year ago, and they did a lot of different things with him there. You know, Eli is a guy that I believe will be an NFL player. And, you know, he's come in and been a great fit for us, but I think that's someone who is going to create advantage for us on offense. And I think our fan base will be excited to watch him go.
Well, Clark, we're really excited to see it all take place and come together here over the next few weeks leading into the season. I appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning. Thanks so much, Clark.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. And the only thing I'd complain about is we got to get this thing moved back to Nashville. I mean,
that's
how
right.
Nice was it last year to actually sit in person and do this?
That's right. Interview. Exactly.
So maybe I'll do some pushing while I'm here.
That's true, but you can get some Pecan Lodge barbecue down there. So, you know, there's always a plus side.
Shoal didn't tell me about that, so let me get on him about that. I'll make sure we get some barbecue today.
Get some takeout coming back to Nashville.
That's
yeah,
right.
It's worth
right.
it.
Gotcha. And then swing by the office. Yeah,
yeah, there,
go.
Yeah, there we go.
Now we're talking. Thanks, Clark.
Thanks,
really
Clark.
Appreciate
good to be with you guys. Yep.
Absolutely. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach, our guest on Robbie and Rex. So we'll have the Rob rant coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Welcome back to the Fat and Bald Show. See us more now.
Son, yes. You just listen to me. Things are going to be fine. That's really the general takeaway.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning. Either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Haven't had Nick Doff in a while. Keezer's a little bit too...
Also, why'd you take away the pound sand thing from the Rob Rant? I like the pound sand thing.
Huh?
It just played.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I didn't hear the pound sand thing.
We need to get you some new headphones this week.
You put on your headphones a little too late.
God. We are a mess.
We are. Lots of stuff going on right now.
Yeah. You can't breathe. My knee's sliced open and bleeding. It's awesome.
Great stuff on the program today. First, I have a two-part rant. Both of them involve the Las Vegas Raiders. Okay, so I still can't get over last week going through the Super Bowl odds and the Raiders having better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Tennessee Titans with their quarterback situation and really their whole roster. Like, the Raiders just don't seem like they're going to be very good. I'm glad that they've got who's their quarterback, Gardner Minshew, this year. So that'll be good. Looking forward to that heading into it.
Almost took the Colts to the playoffs.
That's just kind of the first part of it. Like, you know, looking at that last week, the Raiders at plus 10,000 to win the Super Bowl. So it's not like they have great odds. But then Washington and Tennessee right behind that. Washington at plus 12,000. And then Tennessee at plus 15,000. Interesting stuff. I think the Raiders are going to be terrible. That's just me. I mentioned last week that I watched Receiver on Netflix. And it's got... You know, Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I really enjoyed it. I love kind of like the behind-the-scenes stuff. So I finally got a little bit deeper into the series. And the episode that really kind of hones in on Devontae Adams, it's pretty interesting. So as we know, Jimmy G's the quarterback there last year. Didn't go very well. And Adams is mic'd up for a lot of this.
I know what you're going to get, yeah.
And he gets overthrown a couple of different times. But eventually just says, quote, "This is effing pathetic, bro. Just throw the effing ball. I'm tired of this BS." And slams his helmet on the ground, all this stuff. Starts talking about how the quarterback can't hit him. And then basically later in the show, they ask him about Jimmy G getting benched. And he's like, "Well, yeah, I signed off on it. So we're all good." I was like, "Oh, okay." So no love lost, apparently. And he talked about Jimmy Garoppolo being a great guy, but time to move on at quarterback, which he's not wrong.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying, like, it's funny to me. And he's gotten a lot of flack over this online, too. Like, the way that he was handling the quarterback situation. And I realize that he went there partly, number one, because he wanted to be in Vegas, but number two, he did have a very good relationship with Derek Carr, and now Derek Carr's gone. So I understand that. But most of the flack that Devontae Adams has gotten, and it's kind of where I stand on this, when you actively choose to leave one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, regardless of what you think Aaron Rodgers, when you actively choose to leave one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and you complain about quarterback play, which, by the way, the money was more in Green Bay, so it's not like you took more money to go to Vegas. Like, it's difficult for me to have a whole lot of sympathy for you complaining about your quarterback when you just voluntarily left one of the greatest to ever do it. So he's getting a lot of flack right now with this receiver stuff coming out. It's pretty interesting to watch.
Be careful what you wish for kind of thing.
Yeah, it is.
But it's also, I mean, I'm sure he would take Derek Carr, right? Like,
I would assume.
What were the Raiders doing? Because Derek Carr is not great, but Derek Carr is better than Jimmy G.
There's no
doubt. And Devontae went to go play with him.
Yes.
Right? So he didn't sign off on that part.
He didn't sign off
on that aspect of what's gone on with his organization.
I would think not.
I thought you were going to bring up, because I saw a thing on Twitter where it's like something like basically like, "I've never been put in harm's way."
He's never been hit this much in his life.
Yeah. The whole, like, "He's trying to kill me with his bad passes."
Well, and then there was, you know, this golf tournament that happens in Lake Tahoe every year that somehow Vrabel finds his way to, which he did again. Saw some
smoking
videos of
those stogies.
Yeah. No, Rodgers finds his way there every year, too. And some, like, random person caught up with Rodgers this weekend on camera. And he was like, yeah, I love Devontae Adams. Looking forward to playing with him again. And everybody's like, well, what does that mean? Like, you're not playing with him right now. So is Adams going to get traded to the Jets? That would be interesting. I don't know why he would say that. Like, he just came out and said,
he was on shrooms.
He may have been. Looking forward to playing with him again. What does that mean? You're not on the same team right now.
Interesting. It is tough, man. It is tough to see. You said it last week. Devontae Adams was the best receiver in the league. Yeah. It's tough. I think he's probably – he slowed down. He's not as good. But still, this is an example of a special talent. You know, just – it's like when the Sacramento Kings would have great players here and there, like you wouldn't know because they played for the freaking Sacramento Kings.
Right.
And that's not what the Raiders are, but when you suck, it's wasted years of a great player.
It is.
It's too bad.
Well, and, you know, I would agree he's probably not as – explosive as he was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. He is still only 31. Like, he should be
still good.
He's still a really good player.
Good. Yeah.
And you're in a quarterback situation right now that's just terrible. And look, I get it. Like, and he has. He's found a way to be, for the most part, productive regardless of who the quarterback is. So he's a great player. I mean, last year was a quote unquote down year. And he had 103 catches for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. So I'm still a pretty darn good player.
Mm-hmm.
But it's noticeably different when you don't have that type of quarterback throwing you the ball, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe Minshew. He'll probably like Minshew better than Jimmy G.
I would assume so.
So maybe they'll make some magic happen.
At least if you're open, Minshew will probably hit you.
You would think.
May not do anything spectacular, but he'll probably hit you if you're open.
Does AOC have a chance to win that job?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure it'll be a nice competition. But I don't feel great about that quarterback situation. Whether it's Gardner Minshew or AOC, not a great spot to be in
if
you're the Raiders.
It's too bad, Devontae.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.